Hey guys, Nick here, taking a quick break so that I can tell you about Dioli's Italian Market, my family business. We've been located in Winston-Salem since 2007, and we've been a vital part of the Wake Forest community for students, athletes, coaches, and faculty, and the Winston-Salem community as well. You guys have heard guests come on before. Anyone that's part of the Wake Forest community has raved about my parents' deli, our family deli, and the hype is real. It wouldn't be if we've been here this long. So I got a deal for you. If you come into the deli and you recognize me and you say, hey, I'm a big fan of the podcast, or I've listened to you guys before and I love what you're doing, I will give you a free sandwich card with any purchase you make in the store. So you come in, you talk about the podcast with me a little bit, you purchase something, I'll give you a sandwich card that has all 10 stamps. And then the next time you come in, your sandwich is on me. So that's all you got to do. We appreciate you guys. Thanks for supporting a small family business that's been part of the Winston-Salem community for all these years. Thank you for listening to the show, and we are coming right back to you.
Welcome, college baseball fans. I'm Monty Taylor. I'm joined by Nick. Maybe Micah will join us. Maybe he won't. He's on the road having some internet problems. And I was unable to confirm whether he's going to be able to jump on or not. It sounded like there was a possibility he could. So until then, we're just going to wait and see. Nick, how are you doing? How was your weekend? Because you were at Wake Forest, Florida State. And which we will talk about. Don't go too deep into it because we got to talk about it later.
I won't. But luckily, the weather actually played in my favor to where I could go to all three games. I didn't catch all of the second game on Saturday because I was working, but I came into the sixth inning during that and then stayed most of the third game. But it was fun. I was very lucky to go to all three, and I was happy that I went to all three. So got some good coverage there. Tight battle, one of the better series that we've had, I think, but we'll go into detail of that later. My pack won over Carolina, so that was nice. Got to enjoy that over the weekend as well. Other than that, this was a great week of college baseball. Like, we're a month away from conference tournaments, and it still feels like we just started the season, and I can't believe there's only like 4 weeks left.
Yeah, I mean, I think this might have been the best ACC weekend of the year. Was a fantastic weekend of baseball. I caught up on some games last night and today, and it really kicked off, in a big way with UNC, NC State, and continued all the way through to Sunday with some fantastic baseball games. So we're gonna go ahead and jump right into it. We're gonna start with that UNC NC State series that started on Thursday night, and I'll bring up the slides there. I knew going in that this was gonna be a big game, a big series. I knew it was gonna be good. I knew it was gonna be good. You and I were the only two that picked NC State, by the way. Props to us. Yes. We were both correct. But my first credentialed game was last year, and it was at the Bosch. It was UNC NC State on a Thursday night again last year. I think it was a little bit closer to the end of the season. I think it was the second to last series of the season for the two teams. And NC State, I believe, got out to a 5 or 6-0 lead, and then UNC came all the way back. And I think it was Colby Wilkerson walk-off suicide squeeze to win it. And that was my first ever credential game. I couldn't have asked for like a better outcome because, you know, walk-off home runs happen all the time, but a walk-off suicide squeeze, that's pretty cool. So
we're seeing that more often lately. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have. I've noticed a lot of bunting, and it's a lost art. I hate it sometimes, and sometimes I love it. That Thursday night game, did you get a chance to watch it? Were you able to get home and settled in? It was a fantastic baseball game. Back and forth it went. Every time one team would take the momentum, the other one would take it back. And then ultimately it was, It was Brandon Butterworth, maybe an unlikely hero at the end of the game, but a hero nonetheless. Walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth to off Matt Poston to win at 9-8. Nick, what were your thoughts on this game one?
I mean, what a way to start off the ACC week, you know, or the week in college baseball in general, because I think A&M Alabama was going on Thursday night as well.
One of the two SEC ones got delayed and the other one didn't. I can't remember which one did.
This game was the one to watch because I know that one was like a blowout. This one was back and forth. I mean, it was just a great way to kick off the weekend with these two rivals going at it. Thursday night, absolutely nuts. Like UNC jumps up to a 2-0 lead, then State takes a 3-2 lead, then I think Carolina's up 5-3, and then State goes up 8-5 after Cozart's 3-run bomb. And then Carolina just chipped away at mistakes that NC State was making. And yeah, it was the unlikely hero, Brandon Butters, hitting a – honestly, that was a tank. Like, that kid's got power for only three – that was his third home run of the season. And I think he just unlocked something. Like, that thing went over the pitcher's bullpen. The bullpen. It was nuts how far that ball went. That Thursday was absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy.
And for me, it was a big day for Cozart because he had five RBI. You can see in the top performers there, he had seven RBIs in the weekend. I think he hit two home runs and had the two other RBIs in the Sunday game that ultimately wasn't much of a contest. But that Friday game, he put the team on his back for, you know, in big spots. And that's exactly what we wanted to see from Cozart. We haven't always seen it this season. He's got high expectations. But this weekend he was a big time player. And I think I tweeted something like, that's a big time moment from a big time star. And that's exactly what you want to see. He did have a chance, I think, to walk it off earlier in the ninth inning. I think he was hitting ahead of Butterworth. And I was like, this, it felt scripted if he had done it right with Brandon Butterworth doing it. It felt a little less scripted, a little bit more improv. But what a way to start the weekend. And then in game two, Shea Sprague was brilliant for UNC and left with a 4-1 lead, what felt like a very comfortable 4-1 lead. And NC State was able to scratch back. Another decent start from Dominique Fritton. I know those four earned runs kind of sound bad, but, you know, he went six innings and had seven strikeouts. But, you know, you got to be really, really pleased with the way your team fought back. And it was Brandon Butterworth again. I think he had that big double late in the game to set up another run. I don't know if it was the tying run. I think it was the tying run. And then they won on a walk-off, not a walk-off, but they scored in the bottom of the eighth on a walk-off pitch. And then Duden was able to get the save. So they were able to clinch the series right away in the first two games, which is really, really big for them because we've discussed they have a gauntlet of a schedule.
Yeah, I was able to watch a lot of game two on my phone as I was at the Wake game and just keeping track of it. And then once I saw the momentum building up for State, I really like locked in on it. A couple of Eli came in clutch. I think he had an RBI that made it 4-2 or 4-3 and then ended up scoring in that inning. Dom is starting to settle in a little bit more. I mean, he had a better outing against Clemson, but this was a decent outing. He limited the damage just enough for us to win. And man, that last at bat, Duden and Vance Huddicutt, like, can you ask for a better matchup in the top of the ninth to close the game? I mean, that was electric.
And we've been saying it since the season started. Jacob Duden is a dude. If you needed any more evidence, there it was on Friday night. Vance Honeycutt had five straight games with a home run. Unfortunately, that ended. He only had a triple in Sunday's game. That was the best he could do. So his homer streak ends with five straight games. But I thought it was worth noting that he had hit a home run in every game since our All-Star teams had been revealed, and he was not on it. and it felt like he was sending a message. I'm sure it wasn't personal, but it felt a little personal, like, oh, maybe we should have included Vance. But great production from the bottom of the lineup. Alex Madera and Colby Wilkerson had really good series. Not the best series for freshman catcher Luke Stevenson offensively. I think he went 0-for, but UNC is going to be fine. This is a series they, you know, it doesn't affect them too much, and they salvaged the win on Sunday. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting, you know, moving forward, and hopefully they can get Folger Boaz back at some point, well rested, get to carry a little bit of rest as they go towards the postseason. Do you have any concerns about the UNC team coming out of this series, or was it just gritty NC State wins on Thursday and Friday?
I'm not worried about UNC. I think it was gritty. I think just like some unfortunate luck for UNC. I mean, you know, game one, you can't really take much out of it when it blows back and forth. But game two, you know, I think they had a lot of mistakes that let State crawl back into it. And game three, they took advantage of guys on base where NC State didn't. And very quietly, that's where kind of State struggled in the entire series, where they left a lot of dudes on base. And a lot of it was when AMAC was up to bat. And every time he struck out, like, AMAC will hit a solo shot, but when it comes to guys on base, he's been striking out. So very quietly, I think State struggled with opportunity with guys on base, but especially in game three. I mean, the first two innings, they had guys on second and third with one out or no outs and failed to bring them in. So, no, I'm not concerned about UNC. I think State is really starting to come into form as of late. I mean, I don't know if people know this, State has three top 15 series wins in the country. Three of them. They got they beat Clemson, who was number two. They beat Duke when they were number eight, and they beat Carolina when they were number 11. So that's very impressive. And I think they're starting to come together. So it's not like UNC lost to a bad State team. Like, this team will be a high two seed at where we're standing right now, I think.
And we did have them ranked at number 19, as you can see on the graphic there. So this was a top 25 matchup that did not disappoint.
State, they have opportunity ahead of them this week where they can get revenge on ECU. They can sweep Ball State. And then the next midweek, they could get revenge on UNCW and get, because their RPI, Monty, I don't know if you saw this, only jumped one after this weekend.
Oh, wow. I did not
see that. Yeah, they went from third, at least that's maybe from Saturday to Sunday, they jumped one. But they're at 29 right now. I know they were kind of in the 40s after the ECU loss, or after the Campbell loss, I should say. But
it's also an opportunity to reset. Because it's the Ball State's kind of, I don't know if it's exam weekend for NC State, and that's why they chose her. It's just it seems a little bit early for exams, a week earlier, so. But it's a chance for them to reset, where they're going to face ECU and UNCW, who are both very good teams, and Ball State, who you can't overlook. But it's not an ACC gauntlet that they've had to go through, and you can rest and reset some of those arms a little bit. Obviously, Logan Whitaker still hasn't pitched. This is the third straight miss, right? Yeah, he missed Louisville.
There's something, I saw this video of Avent last night. There's not a whole lot there seems like there's something wrong with Whitaker, and I don't know if they're trying to keep it a secret or they don't even know what's wrong. But same thing with Noah Souls. Like, we haven't seen him in a long time. Right. Like, did he, like, sounded like he had surgery? I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anything. All I've seen is that he's been out. So
yeah, and so it's really interesting with college sports. It's there's no transparency like there is at MLB level, where you have to report everything. So a lot of what we don't want to speculate too much, but we do know they have been out, and you know, maybe they come back, maybe they don't. We don't know anything. So
yeah,
moving along to another big series, and Nick teased it a bit. He was at all three games. I think that's only the second time this year you've been able to make it to all three games of a Wake Forest series.
Maybe
I, I think the Duke series, I think you were able to because of the weather delay.
Correct, because yes, I was able to go to all the Duke. Yeah, because the Duke Sunday one was at 4, so I was able to go.
So I was a little disappointed on Saturday morning when Mark was introducing this segment to recap Florida State and Wake Forest, because he said Jamie Arnold and Chase Burns were meh. What are your thoughts on him saying they were meh? Because I didn't think that was meh. I was following the game, the live stats, and it felt intense even without being able to watch it on TV. So I'd like to hear your rebuttal, Nick, because it felt like maybe not quite Skeens louder, because it wasn't total domination for each side, but it was definitely better than the Santucci Hartle matchup that we got earlier in the season.
I mean, was there, can you think of a matchup this season that was like this close, like as a result this season? I can't.
I thought Jamie Arnold was fantastic. I thought Chase Burns was good. I mean, it's like, funny though, Jamie Arnold's ERA goes up with, you know, with that kind of a performance.
Right. Yeah. They both got pulled out when the game was tied 3-3. Like, that's quality starts against very good lineups like Florida State rakes, Wake Forest rakes. And it's 3-3, I think, in like the sixth inning when it was all said and done before Florida State, I think, took the lead and everything. But yeah, I that was a fantastic pitching matchup. Like, if I tweeted it from our fifth quarter ACC podcast Twitter account, and you actually replied to it, Monty. I said, if you were looking to find a front runner for ACC Pitcher of the Year in this matchup, I don't think you found a result that you were looking for. Like, if you were looking for Jamie Arnold to take a step to that Pitcher of the Year, I don't think you can say that. And if you were looking for Chase Burns to take that step, I don't think you could say that either, because both pitchers pitched so well and the game was so tight.
If you're basing it on that start, I think you're correct. I was thinking front runner overall, like with some of the stats, because Jamie Arnold's ERA and some of those numbers are I think a little bit better than Chase Burns is, although strikeouts on Chase Burns' side. But yeah, if you're talking, what you meant is that if you went in thinking they were tied, you can't have made a decision after this. Correct. I get that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was a absolute fantastic outing by both pitchers against two of the best lineups in the country.
Yeah. I mean, it was insane. And like, at first it felt like, oh no, Chase is not going to have a good game, because the first batter of the game hit a solo shot. Like, it was like, oh shoot, here we go. But no,
well, and they got runners on the corners, I think, and did not score, right? I think
like, that inning could have gone a lot worse, and luckily it didn't for Chase. But no, I mean, both pitchers pitched very well, and it really was just going to come down to whose bullpen could save them, and luckily Wakes did in the end for them. So that was a great game, all in all, all around great game.
We can talk about this series, or we can talk about Wake Forest in a second, but I want to talk about Florida State real quick, because this has got to be a little disappointing, because this is another opportunity where I think they had, obviously, you look at the scores, they led in all three games. Mm-hmm. And ultimately the bullpen couldn't get it done. So it's going to feel like a lost opportunity, maybe not to as bad as Clemson, the games at Clemson felt like, but the positive note here is Florida State very easily could have won this series without two of their three starting arms. Because remember, Cam mm-hmm. Leiter and Connor Whitaker didn't pitch, and you got some outstanding – I mean, Carson Dorsey was fantastic on Saturday. And so you've got to feel really good about Florida State, although it may feel like a little bit of a missed opportunity for them. They were in this, and I think you could make an argument they should have, and I think you can make the argument both ways that Wake Forest should and did win the series, but you could also say Florida State should have as well if they, you know, execute a few things. So I think there's a lot. I mean, to me, Florida State's a top 10 team, even when I've seen them lose. and Wake Forest is getting back to where we thought they would be. And that bullpen has settled with Cole Rowland at the back end. Will Ray continues to be good. Zach Johnston was good. Josh Gunther appears to be pitching pretty well. So you got to love that. I think did Cole Rowland get a save and a win this weekend? They were in extras.
He got the save. I think Gunther ended up with the win on Friday.
Yeah, let me see real quick. I am looking at my notes. Maybe it was
Johnson.
He got the save. So Rowland got the save on Friday, got the win on Sunday.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
yeah, because he gave up the solo shot in the top of the ninth on Sunday.
Yep.
Also, quick shout out to Will Ray. I saw him this morning and he asked me, you want to hear a really crazy stat? And I was like, I am all about crazy stats. Give it to me. And he said,
I thought you were going to say something about him being snubbed. He knew he was snubbed and he wanted to call us out for it. I was worried.
Oh, I keep reminding him, I voted for you. There's a reason why I voted for you. And today I reminded him why I voted for him, because this crazy stat of his, did you know that he is tied for first in the nation for appearances?
No.
Yeah, he's tied for 20, I think he said 23 appearances this year. And he's like tied with someone with in a small school in California, like Loyola Marymount or something. And he said, I'm projected to have like 40 appearances by the end of the year.
That's Charlie Bielenson from last year numbers. Cause I think Bielenson had 39 for Duke.
Yeah.
And that was a school record for them. So that's a lot of innings. And for him to go out there and still be effective, not a lot of pitchers can do that. So hopefully he can maintain that effectiveness. But that's awesome. I love that he's going out there. He's like, hey, do you know I lead the nation in appearances?
Yeah.
And I love that.
Falco, he told me that David Falco is like tied for second with another kid on that same team that's tied with Will.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's so wild. Two guys on two different schools. It's crazy. That's nuts. But yeah, so shout out to Will. I mean, he's been a dog. Like I know he was very upset getting pulled from the, I think it was game one. He was upset that he was pulled out of that game, but game three, he was doing really well.
I will say I hyped up not just the Jamie Arnold Chase Burns matchup, but that it was Tibbs versus Kurtz, who might be your two front runners for player of the year. They were fine. They were both fine. I think Kurtz had a couple of doubles.
Yes.
And Tibbs had a home run, but they were not among their team's top four guys, but same kind of situation. If you're looking between those two to make a determination going into this series did not provide you any more clarity in regards to that race. Shout out to James Tibbs, who just got named the Florida State Male Athlete of the Year over Jordan Travis, which is rather impressive considering what Jordan Travis meant to that Florida State football team. But just a great series. This was definitely one I had a little bit of FOMO regarding when I was at Charlottesville. This one and, the Virginia Tech Duke series that we'll get to later was also a fantastic one that I was a little bit jealous that I wasn't able to witness live. But, thoughts on Wake Forest is doing exactly what we started to predict. They're moving forward. Josh Hartle had another good outing on Saturday. And it's funny, we mentioned that, Will Ray pitched in game one and three, but those were back-to-back days because of the doubleheader. So just keep that in mind that he didn't have a day's rest in between like he normally would have. He pitched back-to-back days. So maybe it's a good thing he got pulled a little early in the Friday, the Friday game in game one. So, monster numbers. I just see two top 10 teams here, two top 15 teams for sure. And the Florida State bullpen, I'm not too worried about, but that's another series that if their bullpen pitches a little better, they take two of three on the road, I think. And so you just got to keep an eye on it. You know, they were really, really good between the Clemson series and this series. They weren't terrible in this one, but still just something to keep an eye on.
I think like seven of Wake's 10 runs came on like zero hits. Like that Florida State bullpen was really struggling on Sunday. I think in the sixth or seventh inning, Wake got like four or five runs on zero hits because it was a walking with the bases loaded or hit by pitch. Also, a lot of controversy with the umps with the hit by pitch too. I do know that those Wake guys were happy to get to Brennan Oxford. They were, because he was a former Wake baseball player a couple of years ago, so they were happy to tack some runs on him. But yeah, that was, I think that's where Florida State feels like they should have won this series, because I think Wake just stole it from them because Florida State shot themselves in the foot. Like, I, seven of their 10 runs, I think, came on one or two hits.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, they shot themselves in the foot in all three games of the Clemson series, so it's tough. But moving along to another an interesting series that was also a doubleheader situation. We have the Pittsburgh-Clemson series, and we got Pittsburgh jumped out to a 4-0 lead in game one. Great to see Tristan Smith back. He only gives up the one earned run. They did score four runs. And something you're noticing here again, Clemson giving up a lot of unearned runs. It's not on Hinderleiter. Doesn't sound like it's on Hinderleiter much this time. It just sounds like they're just struggling defensively, and that's been a bit of a problem. But they, in the later innings, they come back and they win the game 6-4. In game two, Ethan Darden, who's been brilliant the last couple of weeks, doesn't have his best outing, but Jack Sokol does. Six shutout innings for the Pitt Panthers as they stun number five Clemson. So they gave Clemson everything they could give them in the first two games. And then game three, Aiden Kanak continues to be unbelievably good as a freshman. Clearly has taken the stake as the best freshman arm in the ACC to date. But they took care of business. Clemson, they take two of three. It doesn't necessarily feel like a routine win necessarily. I think, you know, it feels a little scary when you go down 4-0 in game one and, you know, game two doesn't go the way you want. But, you know, Jimmy Overtop had a monster series. Look at that, 5 home runs, 7 RBI. Blake Wright did Blake Wright things. You know, they were getting production. Again, they're just taking care of business, and that's how you need to look at it. Don't try to nitpick this. I mean, what are your thoughts, Nick?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think you should nitpick this at all. I mean, you're Clemson, you're number five in the nation. You're going to get everybody's best no matter what. And this is a deep conference, even though Pitt is on the outside looking in. They are still a quality team. Jack Sokol is a phenomenal pitcher. We know that Pitt has some bats in that lineup as well. It doesn't surprise me that Pitt came out swinging in this series. I mean, this is, you know, teams are playing for their lives at this point in the season. You know, like, Pitt's on the verge of missing Charlotte, and they need to come out and at least get one win out of this series. You know, I'm sure they – everyone wants to continue to play baseball. That's what it comes down to this time of the year, late April, when you get into the deep realm of conference play. And, you know, I don't blame Clemson for losing at all. Like, this was a sweepable series, but again, this conference is so deep, you're going to get everybody's best at any time.
Well, and we don't call Pittsburgh Gritsburg just because it's fun. Like, it is fun. Exactly. The reason we do that is because they play hard and they give you everything they can, and that's what they did in game one and two. And on the other side, if you're a Clemson fan, I think you got to be pretty excited about the way your pitching rotation's looking. I know Tristan Smith just came back. I know Ethan Darden didn't have the best start, but this one through three, you've got a, you know, it's taken a while, but it looks like you've settled into your weekend rotation. These are your dudes. Tristan Smith was fantastic before he got injured. Ethan Darden has been fantastic. And Aiden Kanak has a scoreless streak of, I want to say, like 18 innings or something like that. So, I mean, that is phenomenal. And you really got to like the way it's setting up down the stretch here.
Yeah, I mean, when you this Clemson team, if we're going to try to compare any team to last year's Wake Forest team, which was utter dominance, it's this Clemson team this year. And that Wake Forest team would lose a game or game here and there in this series. You know, like at one point, Wake was so good they were sweeping teams like in a row. And then when you like have them lose like one game in a series, like, oh no, the sky's falling, but it's not. And remember that last year's Wake Forest team lost game one to Pitt.
Yep. The one time Rhett Lowder didn't start, right? That was Yep. That was the only Friday night game they lost all season, and it was to Pitt. Right. And I'm sure it felt like the world was falling, even though Wake Forest was the clear number one, no problem.
Yeah. I think they ended up scoring like what 37 runs in the next few games. That was one of the most insane stats I've ever seen in college baseball. But yeah, look, you're the top dog in this conference right now. And you're just at this point in the season, just win the series. You don't have to sweep. You're going to remain where you are. Every top team in the country is going to lose a game in a series, right? I mean, this is the dog days of it, and you're just wanting to start the postseason. So just keep cruising.
Yeah, yeah. And again, Jimmy Obertop, not to be overlooked. I mean, what a monster series for him offensively. Yeah. You know, I imagine he was in the conversation for ACC Player of the Week with Matthew Ellis. But, you know, and on the flip side, Dom Papa, it just seems to be so underrated. He continues to rake for Pitt. They messed around with the lineup a little bit. He wasn't leading off, but, you know, Pitt's got some guys that can hit, so you got to watch out for him. And Jack Sokol has shown that he can flash some really good pitching on any given day. So, you know, also shout out Ryan Andre on Friday. I know we talked about them get Pitt jumping out to a 4-0 lead, but I believe tied his career high in strikeouts with 8 there. So props to him for that. Unfortunately, you know, couldn't get the win, but that was nice. So moving along to Georgia Tech and Virginia. All right. This is a series that I was at, and it was a pretty fun one. Georgia Tech coming in and upsetting Virginia. That's 3 straight ACC wins. And I think coming into this weekend, we didn't really know – we really couldn't figure out what NC State and Georgia Tech, those two teams, were really about. Those two teams, to me, were the most confusing. And I think now we've got clarity on both. So, I mean, I can get into my thoughts in a second, but, you know, I imagine you were a bit surprised by this result. I mean, we all picked Virginia in our pick'em. It was a unanimous pick, and obviously we were all wrong.
Yeah. I'm more and more concerned with Virginia's pitching because we knew Georgia Tech could hit. And they could hit with any lineup, with Wake's lineup, Duke's lineup, Virginia's lineup, Carolina. That's been no secret, even dating back to last year. Doing those stats last year, like they would always have guys that were up there at the top with the Wake Forest guys and the Virginia guys. So it's not a surprise that Georgia Tech could hit. But what's a surprise to me is now that I think I jinxed it, Monty. I think I said, this is a different Virginia team, and they will rely on their bats because they just can. They know that they can. This week, the bats were not enough to salvage what their pitching did against Georgia Tech.
Well, and to be honest, the pitching isn't as bad as these numbers look. For instance, Evan Blanco, so he gives up more than 3 runs in an outing for the first time in his 2 years at Virginia. But they all came in one inning, and here's what happened in that inning. They shifted, and two hits were 2 weak ground balls that would have gone to the shortstop if they hadn't shifted. So those were hits so that's unlucky. And then there was one where Cam Jones was running on the play to second, and Peyton Green laid down a bunt, and because the second baseman had to cover second base, and both the first baseman and the pitcher had to try and field the ball, nobody covered first base. So that's another hit that, you know, is just kind of defensively. And then, you know, Owen Cody pitched really well. Looking at that, 4.1 innings, 5 walks, but only gave up the 1 earned run. they're still stretching him out. And then Joe Savino, who only threw 31 pitches, he pitched really well, but then defensive mistakes played a huge factor. So defensively, UVA, and what's interesting in that game three situation, Georgia Tech ended up amassing 25 hits, but there were a lot of borderline hit versus errors that ultimately were hits, but I thought they were a little generous. If Scott's listening, who did the scoring, I apologize. I had been marking down in my book they were errors and then having to erase them because he marked them as hits. So they're a very uncharacteristic defensive play of Virginia. So, you know, the pitching isn't great, but when your defense is playing the way it did over the weekend, you're not going to be you're going to make those numbers look even worse. And there's no room for those kind of mistakes when your pitching is just doing the best it can. I think there's still a chance that the pitching can settle. Like I said, there's a lot to like about the starting pitching from this weekend, but the bullpen's got to get settled and figure out what they're doing. Cause Brian O'Connor on Sunday, he said they, you know, I'll just put it, you know, bluntly, they beat the hell out of us. Props to Georgia Tech. That was fun. I do want to shout out their radio guy. He was cracking me up. It was youth day at Virginia. And at one point, somebody was throwing Trey Younger threw a foul ball towards the stands, or it was either Trey Younger or Harrison Didewick on the UVA side. I can't remember who was on defense at the time, but they were throwing a foul ball to the little hill where all the kids had amassed. And the radio guy was like, it's like a school of fish competing for food from the trainer. And I was like, I couldn't stop seeing it. Cause they were like bobbing like fish. I chuckled like four or five times listening to the Georgia Tech radio guy. it was fantastic, but this Georgia Tech team, I think we've got clarity on, and I want to hear your thoughts on Georgia Tech, because I think they're a good team, especially from what I saw on Friday.
I think if the season ended right now, they're a lock for the regionals. I mean, I don't think there's any way you can question it. They have this series win. They have the sweep over NC State. They are improving as the season goes on. This is a quality team. They're starting to figure it out pitching wise. I mean, at least they are giving their bats a chance in these games.
Aiden Finitari and Cam Jones were fantastic. I know, yeah. Cam Jones got he left a couple inherited runners that ended up scoring. He left when there was only one run on the board, but a couple guys on base ended up scoring. But I think they found their Saturday guy in Cam Jones, and then Aiden Finitari was just the definition of don't break or bend, yeah, but don't break. You know, he gives up 12 hits, but I think only one was an extra base hit. It was the first inning to Ethan Anderson, and then no walks. You can't, like, he didn't give UVA offense anything, and you see the result there. So we know what Finitari's capable of. I interviewed him after the game. If he can pitch like that on a consistent basis, and Cam Jones can deliver on Saturdays, this is a very, very different Georgia Tech team than you saw early in the season.
Yeah. I mean, they have quality. I mean, they swept Boston College too last week. I think that was last week.
No, they got swept by Boston College in Atlanta like a month ago. But so the last 3 weeks, they took 2 of 3 at Pitt. They took 2 of 3 from Virginia Tech at home. And they took 2 of 3 from Virginia on the road. So two crucial ACC road victories, and then the sandwiching a home series against Virginia Tech that, you know, we thought they might get crushed in, because I think that was another unanimous, we're all picking Virginia Tech. So Georgia Tech has taken our picks personally, and they have delivered a message. So I don't think we should all pick against Georgia Tech anymore.
Right. And if you – let's see. I'm trying to – I thought I had their schedule up. I accidentally had the Louisville schedule up. If you remember, Monty, we talked the other day – give me 1 sec as I pull this up. We talked the last time we talked about Georgia Tech when they had beaten Virginia Tech last week. We talked about their remaining schedule. And if they're going to be a tournament team, they have a gauntlet to go through. If my stupid – laptop would load their schedule and these pop-up ads would go away. Let's see. The remaining schedule. Look, they took care of business now at Virginia. They got Miami, Clemson, Duke, and they finish off at Florida State. They can win that Miami series, be in a very good position. And if you can just, you know, take two of three in one of these remaining series, they could be a pretty good, I want to say they could be a lock for the regionals, you know?
Yeah.
If you can split the remaining ACC series, I think you're in a good spot if you're Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And this was one that they had to have. Like, they had to start off with a bang.
Yep. And they did. And you know, Virginia made mistakes, and good teams take advantage of other teams' mistakes. And that's what Georgia Tech did. And that's what really impressed me the most, is they had the opportunities and they took them. Yeah. And they, you know, Drew Burris, worth the price of admission, man. I was hoping to see him light it up, and he did on Sunday. Matthew Ellis is ACC Player of the Week. Congratulations to him. He was absolutely fantastic. And the goose is loose. He's back. John Geisler had a great series. And Cam Jones is so fun to watch, because he's trying to steal as many bases as possible. Hit that back-breaking grand slam on Friday. But the future of this Georgia Tech team is bright too, because on Friday they started four freshmen in the lineup with obviously Burris, but then you had Carson Kearse, Ryan Jaros, and Vaughn Lackey all starting. So you got to be really excited about the future of this program, and the future might be now. You know, yeah. We're talking about it, so it's really cool to see. Hopefully Ryan Jaros, I think that there might have been an injury concern. Hopefully he's okay and doing well. And is back quickly, because he's a pretty special looking freshman. So big guy over there at third base with lots of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was very impressive. I have a question for you, being a Virginia guy. Are you concerned right now? Because we talked about how this is a different Virginia team than most other ones. They have to rely on their bats, but it wasn't enough this week.
It's tricky to say whether I'm concerned, because I'm not as much of a fan per se within the ACC, because I've jumped on all 14 bandwagons. So like Micah was messaging me and, you know, getting scared, panicking. I'm like, it's whatever. I mean, so what if Virginia doesn't host a regional? Like, I'll just go to Durham. Like, I mean, my travel plans change. There is some concern, but the other thing is around this time last year, Virginia lost three straight series. They lost to Pitt, they lost to Duke, and they got swept at Notre Dame. And they really didn't reset until the exam break. And once they came out of the exam break, they were really good. So I'd like to see how they come out of the exam break when they play your NC State Wolfpack at home. They got two home series to get right against NC State and Virginia Tech out of the exam break, and that could really show us what kind of Virginia team we have. But if it's more of the same, yeah, there's some reasons to be concerned, because the bullpen is really struggling. But some good news to take out of this is Griff O'Farrell had an absolutely monster series. They lose 17-12 on Sunday, and he just goes 5-for-5. You know, with a home run. Ethan Anderson's continuing to hit. He's not quite showing the power that he had last year, but he's still hitting doubles. And Jacob Ferenc continues to be Jacob Ferenc, and so does Henry Ford. So offensively, you know, it's also interesting when you're watching these games, you know, to see how Georgia Tech and Louisville have managed big leads over the last 2 weeks. Because they know Virginia can come back in a hurry, and you have to kind of cut it off early. So you're bringing in relievers in bigger situations earlier than traditionally you would see, even when they have like a five or six run lead.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I'm excited about Georgia Tech. I mean, I was thrilled for them this past weekend. That was an absolutely fantastic display from them to come out there. I mean, that Saturday game could have been really upsetting. You know, you're that close to coming back, and and clinching the series with a game to spare, but they come back in game three and they, like Coach O'Connor said, for Virginia, they beat the hell out of us. So, you know, that's an impressive bounce back after a disappointing Saturday night loss in extra innings.
And not to mention, they always schedule Auburn in a midweek. And for a while, they have been losing, and they finally got the win, I think.
Well, it's funny. So they did lose to Auburn.
Oh.
They did 12-8. I think Auburn came back. But I was talking to their SID, and he was talking about sometimes the ACC is so deep and so difficult that you get so exhausted playing these three-game series on the weekend that it hurts you in the midweek because you just have nothing left to face face people. So, and I thought that was really good. And then to have to face an SEC opponent like Auburn, who I think has underachieved all season, was a very tall task for them. But props to them for losing that game to Auburn and then coming back and rebounding and taking a huge road series, because that's the more important thing. You know, nobody's going to look back and be like, well, you should have beat Auburn, when you come back and you beat, you know, take two of three from Virginia. Mm-hmm. So moving along to another monster series. It was our third top 25 series of the weekend. Duke and Virginia Tech. This was insane. I thought it was going to go to a third straight game of extras on Sunday, but it did not. Duke won game one. They came back and beat the Hokies 9-8. Virginia Tech in a pitching duel between the two freshmen, Kyle Johnson and Brett Renfro. Virginia Tech comes out big there in game two to even the series. And then game three, Virginia Tech led 9-4 late. Duke came all the way back, took the lead. Virginia Tech tied it. And then Duke in the top of the ninth took care of business. The big news for Duke, he didn't have the best performance defensively, but the big news is Ben Miller is back. He missed 4 or 5 games. He's back 5 for 14, double, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, no big deal. What are your thoughts here, Nick? I mean, Virginia Tech has got to be frustrated because this is back-to-back tough series losses that they have to feel they should have won.
This is 3 in a row now, though.
Well, right? Well, yeah, but the Wake Forest one, I don't think they feel they should have won.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
This, like I kind of said earlier, this is the time of year where, you know, you got to start being competitive. Like, teams are kind of like out for your necks and stuff. This is also the time of year where if you're starting to get hot right now, that's a good sign. If you're starting to lose right now, that's a bad sign. And I think right now, if you're a Virginia Tech fan, even though this series was close, it's time to pull out the panic button and just kind of keep it next to you, because that's 3 in a row that you've lost. You're out of the top 25. I think still right now, if the season ended today, you're in. You have some quality wins for sure that will carry you. And the Georgia Tech series loss is not looking as bad as we thought, considering what happened this week with the Georgia Tech. But no, yeah, I'm a little concerned.
Remember, the problem isn't necessarily that Georgia Tech wasn't a bad or good. It's the fact they led 7-0 in the rubber match.
Yeah.
And blew that, because you've got to be, you know, feeling good and giving up 11 straight. So that's all I was, you know, and then leading 9-4 late against Duke in, again, the rubber match as well. So that's just got to be deflating for a Virginia Tech team that's been so good all year.
Yeah, it's not like they're getting killed in these series. Like, they're just kind of blowing them. And, I mean, if you just look at the scores right here, they're all within 1 to 2 to 3 runs. You know, it's nuts. I think Virginia Tech is who they are. They're just kind of they're going to give you their best. But we've yet to see Virginia Tech beat a quality team.
In a series.
I kind of alluded to it when they were approaching the Wake Forest series, like, hey, this is like, now is Virginia Tech for real. After 3 series losses in a row and kind of seeing, you know, dissecting the results of those, they're just kind of mid. They're just kind of in there. they will give you their best, but sometimes their best isn't quite enough. I'm not trying to like look into next year, but I would be really high on this Virginia Tech team next year with a little bit more experience, but you can't be too upset like right now, because no one really knew what Virginia Tech was going to be going in. But this is draw for concern.
This is a series where I feel like they really missed Garrett Michelle, who's been out all season. And I think if you have Garrett Michelle in either one of these last two series, I have to think that makes the difference in some of these situations, as crazy as that may be. Obviously, again, I don't think it makes a difference in the Wake Forest series, but yeah, this is where it's just tough, where that big star bat that that was going to be such a big part of your team, finally you're seeing some effects of that missing piece. Again, they've got a tough schedule left, but they do have pretty good numbers against Virginia the last 2 years. And as we've said, Virginia doesn't pitch great. So who knows? But also, being mid in the ACC it doesn't mean you're going to miss the tournament. So because I think Louisville, you could argue, is, if you're saying mid, I would think that Louisville kind of fits that mold, and they're right there in the tournament hunt. So, it's just tough, because only 64 teams can get in, and a lot of those bids are accounted for. So we'll have to see. But Logan Bravo, massive series. Zach Morris, spelled with a C, big series. I'm saying that because Jake tried to spell his name incorrectly. But offensively, Virginia Tech didn't have a lot of big numbers. You see Carson DeMartini's not on this. Henry Cook had a home run, but I think that was one of his only hits, or one of two only hits. So I think Virginia Tech offensively, I know they scored 20 runs in this series, but I think they probably feel they could have played a little bit better, especially at home. But that Duke pitching staff is so good. Charlie Bielenson, by the way, he's not on this list, because when I do top performers, I don't include the relievers. For those of you that are wondering, Charlie Bielenson is the ACC Pitcher of the Week. He's the first reliever this year to win that award. He went 5 shutout innings with 7 Ks. He threw 51 pitches on Friday, and then came back on Sunday and saved the game with 2 strikeouts. So Chuck Bielenson just continues to have that rubber arm. That kid is awesome. but well-deserved ACC Pitcher of the Week performance from Charlie Bielenson in very close games when they needed him, because he was the winning pitcher, pitching 51 pitches, I think 4 innings for the extras on Friday, and then came back when it was 10-10 going into the ninth, and they got the 3 runs, called him in, and he took care of business. I don't think anyone even got on base on Sunday's game. I think actually somebody might have gotten on base, and then that was it, but what a performance from Chuck Bielenson. And again, that pitching performance between Kyle Johnson and Brett Renfro, fantastic. I know Brett Renfro normally goes on Fridays, but I wonder if they were trying to move him around so he didn't face Santucci directly, or I'm not sure what the deal was, but Virginia Tech still very much alive. Yes, the panic button's nearby, but just – got to find a way to win a series, coming up. So moving along to the series Micah was at, I wish we had Micah here to talk about this. This was one that everyone but me thought was going to go a certain way. And what's funny about this is Micah listed all the reasons why Notre Dame would win this series and then promptly took Boston College.
Yeah.
Which is just such a Micah thing to do. But Notre Dame made a statement. I said they played well at home, because if you remember, I think they only had 2 home series before this, and they took 2 of 3 from Miami, and then they played Clemson really close despite getting swept. So I had a hunch that they were going to have a big performance this weekend. Shout out, Game 3 was a no-hitter, by the way. One of the sucky things about the run rule is that it's not a 9-inning no-hitter, just a 7-inning no-hitter. I wish they had like an asterisk. Oh, it's run rule unless there's a no hitter going on, and then you have to go until somebody gets a hit. So, what were your thoughts on this series? I know you picked Boston College, obviously.
Right. Yeah, genuinely shocked. But Monty, I gotta give you credit. You listed all the reasons too why you thought Notre Dame would win this, and the home field advantage is a real thing. I mean, it's just a shame that, you know, before this series, they had only had two home series before, and that was it. Like, they have to, because it's so cold up there. I mean,
yep.
When you watch, if anybody watches Micah, like Mornings with Micah, or when he's like doing his thing, hot dog reviews or something like that, like Micah was dressed up like it was 40 degrees outside or 50 degrees. Like, it's still cold up in South Bend, which, you know, kind of stinks. You know, I wish Notre Dame would have more home games. I think their record would be better. I mean, they had to be road warriors in the beginning of the season, going down to Texas, going to these tournaments and stuff like that. I was genuinely shocked. And what, even though they beat the hell out of Boston College, I think the most impressive thing, or the coolest thing I saw, was Micah's little interview with the head coach saying, this is our playoff. Like, we're in the playoffs right now. We're playing for our season. And I alluded to this before with which series were we talking? Oh, Georgia Tech. I'm sorry, Pitt. The Pitt-Clemson series. You're going to get everybody's best right now at this time of the year, where they're playing for their baseball lives. And Notre Dame is playing for their baseball lives right now. And this was huge, because now they're back in the picture of Charlotte. Like, they were the bottom seed. Like, there was no way that they were going to get in. And then they come out with a surprising sweep of Boston College, and they're making things interesting. You know, if you play yourself into Charlotte, then at that point, anything's possible. You know, just survive in advance, just play your game. And Notre Dame has given themselves a chance to kind of make some noise down the stretch.
By the way, this is Notre Dame is the first team to get six names on the graphic, I believe, because I couldn't leave Carson Tinney off, because he had two games. He had a pinch hit home run, and then he had a normal 2-for-3 day and had a home run. So I was like, I can't leave him off, even though, you know. So I had to make sure Carson Tinney got some love. I also misspelled David Glancy's name on this. I just noticed I left off his N. I apologize, David. Here's an interesting thing. Cam Leary didn't walk this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, I was stunned as well. But I, you know, as much as I'm proud of predicting the Notre Dame win, I am deflated for this Boston College team, because I really like Boston College. One of the things I'm most excited about is Barry Walsh appears to be back. He played, I think, in all three games. He definitely played in two of them. He was a center fielder who I think would have been he should have been a really important part of this team, and he's been out for whatever reason. And so it's good to see him back. Hopefully he's not running into whatever Notre Dame pitching had done this weekend to get right. But Boston College is now 7-14. I think going into this weekend, they were on the bubble. That's taken a massive hit. They're on the outside looking in, and they've got to figure out ways to fix that. And I think they're capable of it. It's tough in this conference to do. They've got a big series hosting Virginia this weekend. We'll talk about it. They got Fenway Park on Thursday night, and you know, that would be a big RPI boost. It would be huge if they can find a way to take 2 of 3 at home. Excited for that. Cam Leary, even though he didn't walk, he still hit 300 on the weekend, despite, you know, Notre Dame's pitching on Sunday. Kyle Wolf continues to be good. Adam Magpok had a really good series for them. So hopefully Boston College can bounce back. I know Micah said that they it sounds like they were pretty pleased with the All-Star selections. Cam Leary, I don't think Patrick Roche really played this past weekend, so that also may have played a factor. He was an All-Star selection for us. And, Nick Wong and Kyle Wolf and Vince Cimini were all very close to making our all-star team and are all great players. So I really want to see Boston College succeed. So hopefully they can have a big bounce back series this weekend, but not a great one for them. They really needed to go into South Bend to make some noise and didn't unfortunately happen. So tough break there, but big series win for Notre Dame, big sweep for them. They get five wins in the ACC now and have something to build on going into next week. Moving along to our, I believe, our final series of the weekend, Louisville at Miami. I had to double check. I was like, yep, it is the final series to discuss. Just a monster series. I thought Miami would have the magic this weekend. They didn't quite have it. I know our good friend, our Canes fan is not happy, but it's showing that Louisville is really getting going, and that's good to see. What were your thoughts on this series?
Yeah, I think Louisville is getting going, and it's time to panic if you're a Miami fan. I think it's been time to panic, but I think this just kind of solidified it, you know? How closer is Miami right now to not making Charlotte?
I want to say 2 games is the difference. We'll see it on the next screen. I'm trying to see it. They are 7-14, and Pitt is 5-16.
And they still got to play each other, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is – I'm very bummed out. Like, I'm happy for Louisville. I'm happy they're kind of salvaging what happened last season after the total collapse. They are, you know, not back to where we were hoping they would be, like in the top 25 somewhere week in and week out. But – they are winning the series that they are supposed to win. They're making some noise. They're making a push to the tournament. I think they're still kind of on the outside looking in. I think they've played their way into the bubble conversation. But Miami, I'm very disappointed in this Miami team. I really was hoping to be right on them when everyone was, you know, down on them going into the season. Oh, hi, Micah. Team no Wi-Fi.
So he doesn't have good enough.
Louisville is back. Way to interrupt me again. He's not even on the screen, but he can log on to Twitter and keep interrupting me. This guy. I mean, unbelievable. No, Louisville, he's right. Louisville's back. They're making noise. Louisville is... yes, I'm going to listen to your bracketology podcast, Micah. If you were here, I was complimenting you on making that podcast.
It happened off air, though, so he wouldn't have. Oh, yeah. If he was here,
yeah,
he would have heard.
Yeah. But no, I am disappointed in Miami. I was really high on them going into the season. I thought they'd be a sneaky pick to make the tournament. And it looks like they're not going to. Like, they're kind of fighting for their ACC tournament lives right now. Being only 2 games up on Pitt, they have to win that series to kind of like solidify themselves, even though at least get the head to head on them. Look, it's a new coach. I was very high on, you know, him kind of building with the momentum going into this season. And I know they're trying to find an identity, but it's kind of disappointing for a Miami program.
I do want to say, just because Kane's Cats Heat said, thanks for making me wait. When I put these slides together, I kind of go in the order of games that are played on Friday, and Miami always plays at 7. So they tend to be in the last slot. So that's why, but this Miami team, man, it kills me, because if you look at the pitching performances, and if Sunday the names are flipped, Herrick Hernandez pitches for Miami, but Gage Zeal, another quality start. Rafe Schlesinger has a bounce back and only gives up 2 earned runs. And Herrick Hernandez pitches six good innings and gets the win on Sunday. But I feel these pitchers have been so good all season that they've got to be feeling it, because it's just not coming across for them. So, and I know they're getting left out there, longer, because sometimes you don't trust the bullpen. But on the flip side, I know the Sunday game's a little bit disappointing, but as Kane Katz Heat says, 24 errors when Gage Zeal pitches. He says he's the best pitcher in the ACC. He's definitely up there. But you know, it's just so deflating. But Jacoby Long had a really great series. That's something to be happy with. Dorian Gonzalez continues to be great. But Jacoby Long is somebody we've long been waiting to see this from, and he's finally pulling it through. I think he was one of the top performers last week as well. But on the flip side, Louisville, they get the series W with a game to spare. Sunday's game doesn't really matter. I mean, they got the two wins they needed to right off the bat with behind Sebastian Gongora and Evan Webster, absolutely brilliant. And looking at the numbers, they continue to hit. Zion Rose continues to be a fantastic freshman. Dylan Hoy, since getting into the lineup, I mean, he hit another home run, hit a triple. So there's a lot to like. I think Louisville is back, as Micah said. But as Kane Katz Heat says, key players are regressing. It's a little disappointing. I know Jason Torres has not had a great season since, you know, we were looking at him for potentially being an all-star pick, and he had a pretty poor weekend. It's just not what you want to see. And by the way, I remember Kane's Katz Heat asked if Edvardo Villegas was going to get suspended. He did end up getting suspended, and I think Ortega actually suspended him an extra game, which is why he didn't play on Friday night. Because he threw that ball towards the Florida State dugout last week, if you recall, Nick. But
yeah.
Yeah, Louisville. I mean, do you think they're a tournament team right now?
Yeah, at the moment, I think they are. I think they've stacked up some good series. This conference is deep, and if they're in the middle of it, they are like one of those teams that's like barely going to squeak in. I think they, to really solidify it, I think they got some work to do, but. Look, they got great wins. They took one from Wake. They swept NC State. They just beat Miami 2 out of 3. They lost to Virginia Tech, but they still look really good. I think when the season's over, they will be in it. They're playing quality ball right now.
Yeah, just that bullpen. Shout out Tucker Bivin, who was nails. He pitched 1.1 innings on Friday and 2 innings on Saturday, got the save in one and a win in the other. So another big time relief performance from the ACC pitcher. You know, we've talked about Charlie Bielenson. We talked about Will Ray and Cole Rowland. So another big time relief performance. We'd love to see that. I know every team in the conference has had issues with bullpen at times. So it's good to shout out quality relief performances when we see them.
if you had to pick, Monty, between Louisville or Georgia Tech to make the NCAA tournament, who are you picking?
You're asking me to pick between one of my children?
No, like whose chances do you think are better right now to make it?
Georgia Tech's got the more, I mean, they've got back-to-back top 25 wins. So that's going to be, and one of them was on the road. So it's got to be Georgia Tech for me. It's got to be Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I think I agree. They both have the NC State sweep, but Georgia Tech has the road victory against Virginia, and they've beaten Virginia Tech.
That's right. I forgot about that's when we couldn't figure out NC State because they went to Atlanta and dropped all three. They went to Louisville, dropped all three, and we're like, we don't know what to make of this NC State team.
Right, yeah. And Georgia Tech still – a lot of opportunity. I mean, they still got to play Carolina. No, did they already play Carolina?
Yeah, they did. They got swept.
They did. Yeah. They still got to play Clemson, though. they still got to play Duke. And I think Florida State.
Yeah, I think that's – yeah, you had just looked it up, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. Moving along to our final segment here, previewing the games for next week. We've got our updated standings here. There was a minute that, for a minute there, Louisville was ahead of Wake Forest in the standings on Saturday between between game two and three on Saturday for Wake Forest. But Wake Forest back in fourth as they should be. They are up to number seven in the country, by the way. NC State, number 17, they're in third, just a slim lead with a one-game lead there over Wake Forest. Florida State in second at 11-7, and Clemson obviously still leading the pack at 13-5. In the Coastal, UNC, despite leading despite losing 2 of 3 to NC State, they maintain a two-game lead over Duke. Virginia and Virginia Tech, after losing their series, they fall to 12-9. And then number 23, Georgia Tech, is 9-9 at 500, which 500 should be good enough in the ACC to get you into the tournament. We'll see. They are in there at number 5. And then obviously Miami is going to be fighting off Pitt and Notre Dame. Both Miami and Boston College are going to be fighting off Pitt and Notre Dame for those final two spots in Charlotte. Who do you think right now is going to be on the outside looking in for Charlotte?
That so much has changed in a week. I can't believe it. Because now the question, like, it used to be a lock, right? Now it's not a lock.
Yeah, Notre Dame was clearly out, but now Notre Dame's all of a sudden in the same conversation. So
yeah, just three wins. Oh man, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna say right now, I think Miami misses out. I think this Gritsburg team, I think they might get the tiebreaker. Like Miami's just not trending in the right way. Pittsburgh fights and fights and fights. I think Miami might be on the outside looking in. And as impressive as the Notre Dame win was, I'm still going to leave them out. Even though they swept Boston College still has a two-game lead. Notre Dame still has to play Wake next week. I know Boston College has to play Virginia, but you know I like Boston College to at least take one of those games against Virginia. And I don't know if Notre Dame can take one against Wake at the moment because Wake has just been unreal the last month.
It'll be interesting to see because, again, Notre Dame has played completely different at home. So I think I don't see them winning the series, but I could see them taking one just because of how well they've played. I mean, yeah. And Kane's Cats Heat agrees with me. I think he's seen what Notre Dame can do at home as well. So,
I think if I had to pick right now, the season, if we're ending it on this week and everything goes the way I think it is, I think Miami's going to miss out, and I think Notre Dame will still be out.
All right, I like it. I think Miami and Notre Dame will probably be the two teams left out. But that could also just be because I just love Pittsburgh so much that I'm trying to manifest them getting back to Charlotte because I love that team. I really love all the teams in the ACC, so I'm pretty happy with that. Unfortunately, with it is when you get into conference play, there's going to be some teams that are disappointed and some teams that aren't. Again, when Micah was like, oh, I'm going to turn the UVA game off, I'm like, well, you should turn the Georgia Tech game on. It's going pretty well. look at the flip side. Just put your Georgia Tech hat on and things are going great, aren't they?
Yeah.
I was enjoying watching Georgia Tech. You know, that's where when Micah brings up, oh, I'm onto your Virginia fan, I'm like, my mindset's kind of changed around that, especially when I'm covering games because that's not how I look at it. So I'm more just happy to be there. So and happy to see good baseball, quality games. So let's move on to our ACC matchups. The Thursday through Saturday primetime kind of series. Thursday night, ACC Network, Virginia at Boston College from Fenway Park. I'm super jealous of the people who are going up there. Shout out to UVA's SID. I hope they get to practice there so that he can take some batting practice with the team, get on the field there. But, you know, that's going to be a fun series. You know, it's always a special moment when they get to do Fenway for the ALS game to raise money for ALS research. Virginia, obviously, both these teams are going to need a bounce back. Who you got?
Give me Virginia 2 out of 3. I like their bats a lot. Nothing's changed about that. I think Boston College is kind of slipping a little bit. So
you think BC wins the John West start?
You know, I want to say yes, but John West did not have a good outing against Notre Dame. Like, I was kind of disappointed in him. I thought that would be like a guaranteed win for Boston College.
I'm curious if he starts on Thursday, because he had a monster appearance last year at Fenway where I can't remember which ACC team they were playing, but I know he went 7 innings of one run baseball and was fantastic. So I'm curious if he gets the shot at Fenway again.
If West can go 6 innings in whatever start he's in, I feel good about their chances winning that ball game, because let's just say maybe that was just a hiccup, that he just wasn't on his A game at Notre Dame. And it's at Fenway. I'm not really sold on Virginia's pitching right now. So if John West can go the distance, I like their chances to winning a game when he starts.
Yeah, I'm going UVA. I think they'll take care of business. I think the pitching is starting to settle, at least the starting pitching. Again, they've still got to stretch. They've got to stretch out Joe Savino because he's been injured most of the year. That's why he only threw 31 pitches on Sunday. But they'll be slowly stretching him out, and I think that'll be big to have those two veteran arms at the back end who just know how to get outs, even though they're not necessarily the flashiest of pitchers. That veteran experience can sometimes be a big thing on the mound, just throwing strikes. All right, Miami going to Georgia Tech, the upstart Yellow Jackets. Who we got there?
Give me the Jackets in a sweep.
Oh, I love it. All right, you think they're going to be able to handle this this starting staff for Miami, the Georgia Tech offense?
I think so. I mean, Georgia Tech has one of the top offenses in this conference. Even if Miami's starting pitching, which is very good, they are very good. Their relief pitching is not good. Their fielding is atrocious. I love Georgia Tech's chances. They're going to take advantage of everything that Miami screws up. So,
and there's no Mark Light magic.
Correct.
So that plays a factor. You know, Georgia Tech won't do expletive against our starters, but you know, if there's errors, you know, I mean, I watched it with Virginia this weekend, you know, and they get walks. But Matthew Ellis, if he continues to stay hot, you know, and they get the running game going too, that could be interesting. So I'm taking Georgia Tech as well. I think 2 of 3. They're just going to keep on going and kind of show why they're a top 25 team. I'd feel a lot more confident if they hadn't been swept at home by Boston College a month ago, but they're going to be fine. They're a good team, and they've got the bats, and I think they're pitching. Like I said, I think Aiden Finitieri and Cam Jones have been electric. And then if they, you know, they've gotten guys who've gotten some decent starts in the Sunday spot, whether it's Tate McKee or Logan McGuire. You know, every once in a while they get a really good start out of those guys. So it's a possibility to see them, to see them sweep or win a rubber match. And even if they aren't pitching well, they can win a rubber match, as we just saw when they scored 17 on Virginia. So I'm going Georgia Tech as well. All right, Hokies fall out of the top 25. They are on the road after 3 straight ACC series losses. They head on the road to the North Carolina Tar Heels, the Bosch. Both teams lost series. Who you got?
You know, Monty, I think I've been overrating the Heels a little bit the last couple of weeks. I had them 7 in my top 25. I almost had them 6, but then I realized, no, Duke's got to jump them. I'm going to go with the Hokies in an upset, 2 of 3. Virginia Tech is desperate for a series win right now. They need a top 25 ACC series win, and what better chance to do it against Carolina on the road? They are right there. Like, the last two series have been so close. They should have won an extra game at Duke. They should have beaten Georgia Tech. Don't sleep on this Hokies team. They are in a tough stretch right now, but they have the power. They have the pitching to do it. And I think they can bounce back and beat UNC. I think I am overrating Carolina a little bit when I look at my top 25 and look at their midweek games. I mean, they lost a brutal one to Coastal. They, you know, I know it was on the road, but they lost to an unranked NC State team who's now back in the top 25. But I like Virginia Tech in this. I think they have to bounce back, and this is the series to do it.
Love to see it. By the way, in case you guys didn't notice, there's only 6 ACC series. Those are the only ones we're going to officially do in our pick 'em, because that's all we worry about. But we will talk about the 2 non-conference matchups as well. So I'm going to take UNC. I understand your reasoning. I like your reasoning. But you and I are tied atop the pick 'em standings, and I don't want to maintain that that way. And I think this is kind of a 50-50 matchup. So I thought you were going to go UNC and I was going to go Virginia Tech, but you're going Virginia Tech. I'm going to go UNC. I think they bounce back and take care of business, take 2 of 3 at home from Virginia Tech. Moving along to a big, big matchup. Florida State continues to face some tough competition here as they stay in North Carolina. I'm sure they went home, but they'll be back in North Carolina to take on the number 6 Blue Devils from Jack Combs. I plan to be there Friday or Saturday, maybe both. I don't know. I am looking forward to seeing Jamie Arnold pitch. Cam Leiter and Connor Whitaker may be back, which would be huge. I am thinking about taking Florida State, but I'm going to take Florida State. I think they have a bounce back series, especially with the pitchers coming back. I think they take 2 of 3 at Coombs. Nick, what are your thoughts?
Definitely series of the week, possibly series of the year.
Feels like we have to say that every week almost.
I know, right? Like, at, you know what, Monty, at the end of the season, at the end of the regular season, we have to go back and look, and we all have to vote on which was our favorite series. Like, which one was our series of the year? Because it seems like every week we get one of these, you know?
Well, and it's going to be really fun to look at our predictions, which I've done a couple of times to see where we're at. And I don't think any of us were super close to some of them. I do love, though, that Grayson's most underrated player was James Tibbs. And I was like, wow, okay, he's not underrated anymore. I did let Micah cheat a little bit when I said most likely to break out, because it should have been non-freshman or non, because we had a separate category just for freshmen, and he put Drew Burris as his breakout, which I think is a little bit cheating, because it's, you know, yes, he's broken out, but he was a top freshman, so like, it's not crazy. But anyway, I let it slide. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to look at that. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what our favorite series was at the end of the year, because it's gonna be something recent, though, because it's, you know, the recency bias. But
yeah, I remember, yeah, this series is coming up at the end of the year, and I picked it as my series of the year, and it's looking like it's gonna be, like, in terms of the standings. I picked State and Wake Forest, and for the last few weeks State has held on to a 1-win lead on Wake Forest. So it's been very interesting. That is game that, is creeping up on me.
Is that going to be the same weekend as Duke, North Carolina? Because Duke, North Carolina.
Is it the last week? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. If it is, that I think Duke, North Carolina might be more. And then you'll have the last weekend's Virginia Tech. I mean.
Oh, that's nuts.
But yeah. Did you pick Duke? No,
so I think you convinced me on Florida State. I think they get those two starting pitchers back, Connor Whitaker, and who was the other one again?
Cam Leiter.
Cam Leiter, I'm sorry.
Whose cousin just debuted last week for the Texas Rangers, but didn't have a great outing. So,
yes, he did not have a great outing. But Yeah, I think you get those two back. Both of these lineups are very, very good. Like, they can smash the baseball. I think it's going to be more of a hitter's duel than a pitcher's duel. But I like Florida State's pitching just a little bit more. I think that's what's going to help them. So I like Florida State.
Even if you just get one of the two back, the way Carson Dorsey was pitching, I mean, you know, that's a huge boost.
I mean, now that you know what you got out of Dorsey, he could be the first guy out of the pen for you if you need him. Yeah.
It's interesting. I did originally pick Florida State last week, but when we figured out that Leiter and Whitaker weren't going, I flipped to Wake Forest, which turned out to be the right call. Micah stuck to his guns and stayed with Florida State, and that's why he's not first in the rankings. I don't know if he knows that he just took a ricochet shot, but I did it anyway. moving along here to Clemson at Louisville. This is an interesting series. I'll start with you. What are you thinking here?
I really want to pick Louisville. I really, really do. But I'm going to stick with the Tigers. I think this is going to be a close one. I think Clemson's going to take 2 out of 3. But Louisville's going to give them everything, absolutely everything. But I think Clemson, I think their talent is just going to outlast them or outlast Louisville. So I will take Clemson 2 out of 3 on the road.
Yeah, I really want to take them as well. You know what? I'm going to do it. I might change my – the problem is I might – this isn't even official because I might change my mind by the time we do pick-ems, but I'm going to take them right now. I think Clemson's due for another little bit of a wake-up call. So I'm going to go with Louisville at home because there are no easy series in the ACC, as Clemson kind of just found out a little bit despite surviving against Pitt. Wake Forest, Notre Dame – I think Notre Dame's going to play this very close. I think they're going to do really well, but I think Wake Forest is going to take 2 of 3.
Same. Notre Dame at home is a different animal. I see that. I understand that. But Wake is one of the hottest teams in the nation right now. Their bullpen is settling in very, very nicely. Like, every guy has taken a step. Gunther, Zach Johnson, Will Ray continues to lead.
It's amazing what one or two reinforcements can do to slide everyone up a place or back a place, depending on how you're looking at it.
What's kind of interesting, I did not see – I could be wrong on this because I didn't go to the first part of game 2. And I know he didn't pitch game 3, but – Crawford Wade did not pitch at all this last series against Florida State. So they still got an extra arm that's fresh, ready to go. Hopefully I'm not missing something. Hopefully he's not hurt or anything. But I was a little shocked that we didn't see him come out of the pen, because I think he did pitch that Tuesday game against Wilmington.
Yeah, I did notice when I was doing the box scores, I was after the fact, I was like, oh, no Crawford Wade. Okay.
Yeah, so – if he didn't pitch just because he didn't pitch, then they have an extra, a really good fresh arm for lefty-righty matchups or lefty-lefty matchups. So I like Wake's bullpen a lot. I mean, they've just settled in and they've become the team we thought they could be.
Yep. All right, non-conference, Pitt and NC State both have the weekend off from ACC play. Pittsburgh's hosting Bryant, pesky Bryant. And then Ball State is coming to Raleigh to take on NC State. I mean, do you have any concerns about either of these two matchups?
I would love a pitch you could just sweep and just, you know, I know it doesn't improve much, but I mean, to get that overall record close to 500 says a lot. It kind of gives you some breathing room and you can really build the momentum going back into ACC play before you play Miami. So they've got a lot ahead of them that they got to take advantage of. NC State, I'm hoping for a sweep. Ball State is usually a really good MAC team. Like, they won the MAC last year. They made the NCAA tournament. I'm not so sure how good they are. Like, can you give me any insight on Ball State, like where they are in the MAC standings and stuff like that?
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm going to say this.
Try and pull it up right now while you're talking.
Yeah, if State State needs to sweep this series. They've lost too many midweeks. I think they have just won like a midweek here and there. I think their ranking, their RPI, everything would be so much more improved. If they can beat Ball State and get a sweep, that's a lot of momentum to finish off ACC play.
So, yeah, Ball State is actually currently third in the MAC behind Bowling Green, who finally lost their first conference game, and Western Michigan. Ball State is 25-15. So let's take a look at their schedule, see if they've upset anybody. I mean, they've beaten Michigan State, which is, you know, they've taken 2 of 3 from Jacksonville. They got swept by Bowling Green. They haven't really played anyone of note, it looks like. So, you know, they've got Indiana on Tuesday before coming to NC State. So that's a big, you know, tough week for them. So, you know, I think they're just a solid MAC team. I don't think they're a tournament team. Yeah, their RPI is like 127.
Yeah. So this should be a sweep for NC State, and I would love it if that happened. Just carry the momentum into the rest of ACC play. But hey, big matchup for the Wolfpack tomorrow against ECU. They need that win.
Is that at the Jungle or in Raleigh?
That is at the Jungle.
Oof.
Yeah. Big RPI booster. Big, like, State has kind of crept themselves back into the regional hosting conversation. If they can get this ECU win, sweep Ball State, and then get the revenge on Wilmington, who I think made the D1 top 25.
State is, they might have. They did beat Northeastern, so.
Yeah, State would be sitting very pretty if they can go 5-for-5.
Yeah, and ECU, playing them in the midweek, the nice thing is that's a good question. So the nice thing is they're playing East Carolina. They don't have to face Treya Savage or Zach Root, which is a bonus because those are weekend guys. But Canes Cap Heat just brought up an interesting thing. Does the NC State consider pitching Sam Highfill tomorrow night before since they play Ball State on the weekend?
See, I didn't even read that, and I was just thinking that. I don't. That's a good question. It would not surprise me if they did that. I don't know if you can go with a
– because it's only two games against Ball State, right?
That's a good question. Let me double check and make sure. I don't know if you go with a weekend starter. If you are going to go with a weekend starter, it would be Sam because he's had the most rest. Maybe you put in Duden, have Duden start this game against ECU. But let me – no, it's a three-game series against Ball State.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they I would probably see them just sticking with their routine then, I would imagine. Yeah.
I think you give Duden the start though. Or Van Dam. One of those guys, you gotta guarantee yourself to try to get a win at this
point. It mid majors do it to ACCTs all the time. It would be really interesting to see NC State respect East Carolina that much. And you know, I would understand if they did. ECU right now, I think, is sitting in the top 10. Or close to it. So I could understand that, especially going to the Jungle, which is a loud environment. East Carolina doesn't have much else to root for there. And their baseball team is pretty good. I feel bad. I just took a shot at the rest of the athletic program at East Carolina, but their baseball team is kings of campus, which is a great thing, I think. It'll be really interested to see what the pitching situation is. Maybe you bring out more of your, you know, you go with a different start, or you go with, you know, your normal midweek starter, but then you rely, you know, maybe Shane Van Dam or Jacob Duden come out of the bullpen, you know, instead of, you know, saving them necessarily for the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to the lineup coming out tomorrow. So we'll see.
Yep. Also, Canes Cats Heat said they want Miami to hire Cliff Godwin. I believe that's who he's referring to. He said their coach is who I want Miami to hire. I think that's East Carolina he's talking about. I would imagine Cliff Godwin would be on the top of pretty much any coaching vacancy in the country. That's all I've got. What do you have any final thoughts, Nick?
Final thoughts. No, not really. I enjoyed the week of baseball. Not going to any games this week. Wake is on the road to Elon and then at Notre Dame. We're in the dog days, I guess. Like, I guess if this were the MLB version,
don't say it like it's the dog days. Let's enjoy the journey.
You know what? Nick. You're right. You're right. It's not the dog days, but if this were like the MLB, we're in September. Like, teams are trying to fight for their playoff lives right now. So, no final thoughts for me. This was a very fun week of ACC baseball. And I can't wait for next week. Like, this is going to be a lot of fun.
I want to give a shout out to, I was recognized leaving, Dishroom Park Friday night, by Ken Jaros, Ryan Jaros, his dad, the third baseman for Georgia Tech. He called me by name. He said he loves our show. And I just wanted to shout out, you know, sometimes I forget that people are actually watching. I know Canes, Cats, Heat is always there for us. But other than that, sometimes, unless I'm actively thinking about it, I forget people are actually listening to us. It just feels like we're just two friends or three friends when Mike is here talking ball with, you know, with a little bit of interjection from our Miami fan friend, in the comments. But it really means a lot that that our work is being appreciated and our, you know, that people are willing to listen to us spout our opinions and enjoy some of the ideas. I know the All-Star, thing was a huge hit, but, just wanted to shout out Ken Jaros for pulling me aside and letting me know how much he appreciated the show. It was very surreal for me. Cause I was like, man, you watch our show, people watch it. So, fantastic, yeah. To hear that.
That reminds me, I got a shout out to, like, you know, I know he's a big supporter of us, but, Nick Kurtz's dad, we were extremely busy this weekend, Monty, over at my parents' deli.
I don't doubt it.
In the hustle and bustle, for some reason, it was just like one of those hellish weeks. But in the hustle and bustle, he just says, like, in a crowd of people, like, some people were walking in, like, Nick, I'll always be a big supporter of your show. Like, you That's guys awesome. Do a great job. So shout out him. And also, shout out to the Manassie family. Cam Manassie, former closer for Wake Forest. Cam's parents came down came up from Florida to North Carolina to watch this series. Cam is pitching in high A ball right now up in Washington for the Angels. And they stuck around and they watched every single game. They came and visited me at the deli. I got to watch some of the game with them. They are the best. They were my parents in Omaha because I just hung out with them. Nicest That's people awesome. You'll ever meet.
That's awesome. Awesome. it's great what a community this is, and I'm just grateful to be part of it. And everyone is so nice. You know, I've talked about it before. Even the guys at D1, you know, these are the guys that are the flagship of college baseball coverage, and they don't big time anybody. They treat everybody as equals, and they're happy to give advice. And you know, that goes for the beat writers and the SIDs and, you know, the parents of players and the players themselves. It's a small community and everyone is just so fantastic. And I think it's a really special community in college baseball that, you know, you don't really see elsewhere. So I just wanted to shout that out and thank anybody who's listening to our show and following our content and enjoying it. So speaking of which, I got some updates for you on stuff that you can see. We've got, as we've alluded to a little bit, Nick and Micah mentioned, but Micah and Jake did a secret bracketology show last night without my knowledge. That is out on the it is both on YouTube as a live show that you can watch back, and also on the podcast, the FQ ACC Just Means Less podcast. It is uploaded onto there. This will be uploaded onto there. Micah's ballpark tour continues tomorrow. He is going, this sicko is going to three baseball games at three different ballparks tomorrow. He is going to see the Richmond Flying Squirrels hosting the Orioles affiliate, the Bowie Bay Sox, at 11. At 2:30, he is seeing the University of Richmond hosting Norfolk State. And then he is capping off his incredible triple header in Charlottesville, hosting with UVA hosting Liberty. It'll be quite the environment. I will be seeing him for the third game there in Charlottesville to help him, introduced him to the SID and everything like that. And, you know, yeah, yeah, it's real sicko behavior. Yeah. Three ballparks in one day. It's the, you know,
I don't know how he does it. I've known this man for 3 years. I don't know how he does it.
Deion Sanders said his dream was to play two sports in one day. And I think Micah said my dream is to go to three games in three different ballparks in one day. And he's going to achieve that dream tomorrow. So keep an eye on Micah's account and the FQACC account for that. And I'm sure Nick will also be doing. Did you do the stats last night? Or you doing them tonight?
I will be doing those tonight. Apologies to some stats that I messed up last night. I'll double check. Won't have it again. But yes, stats will be coming out later tonight. So look out for those.
All right. Well, that's all we've got for this week. We will see you probably the same time next week. And I'll be at Florida State and Duke this weekend at some point. Nick will not be at any games because Wake Forest has abandoned him and they didn't take him on the team bus with them when they go to Notre Dame, which is a travesty. but yeah, I hope everybody has a good week, and we'll see you next week.